Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It's a very interesting conversation I'm about to have with Dr. Linda Blockland. Linda is the chairperson at the Clinical Psychology Forum. And the question to her today is why some people are compelled to cheat. Before we get there, a very good morning to you. And thank you so much for joining us on this, the day before New Year's Eve, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you, Chad.
So, Linda, fascinating question. I have a smile on my face. I'm not going to say why. This kind of a question could have got me into a lot of trouble a couple of years ago. So why are some people compelled to cheat?
Yeah, that is a very interesting question, and I think it's quite a complex response that I would have to give there. So a lot of people cheat first of all, I think we need to look at the definition of cheating. So, you know, we're talking about where people break the rules deliberately for their own personal gain. And that's exactly why they do that. They feel the need to gain something, and perhaps they lose confidence in the fact that they might be able to do it by following the rules. So they, you know, they find sneaky ways to get what they need. And that's basically what cheating is.
So when I read the question, it just goes, I don't know whether it was a Freudian slip in my mind, but it took me back to my youth. I don't know whether it was a way of trying to, look for self-reinforcement. But if somebody showed interest, even if I was in a relationship, I would take a chance perhaps, and it could have led to cheating in that respect. I see we're talking about cheating from a broader perspective. So. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about relationship cheating. What's the dynamic, the dynamic that drives that? Is it a way of trying to reinforce one's self-confidence?
Absolutely. It very often is. You know, for some people it is definitely that. They don't feel good enough without that. And there's a kind of a reinforcement. You know, if I can get somebody to play along with me, even though I'm already in some sort of committed relationship, It is a kind of self-reinforcement. Okay, I'm still good enough. You know, somebody still likes me. It's that temptation of being able to, you know, hunt and to win. So yeah, it boosts one's self-esteem. And that's really why people do that sort of thing.
Then when we look at people like Jeffrey Epstein, and we look at people like Robert Maxwell. These were two captains of industry at the top of their game, but both were implicated not just in nefarious activities, Epstein being the worst, of course, with his sexual felonies involving minors, but he was also accused of running a Ponzi scheme in excess of $200 million. And then, of course, when Robert Maxwell died, he was accused of stealing £1.2 billion out of his newspaper group's pension fund. Why do people that are at the top of their game find it necessary to cheat the system?
Yeah, that's fascinating. And then I think we're really looking at something a little bit more extreme than what usually drives people, or drives normal people to cheat or to bend the rules. So there we're probably looking at something like narcissism, so, you know, serious psychopathology rather. And, you know, once they get to the top, the need to maintain that becomes so strong, they'll do anything to stay there. And there's no drawing the line. The sense of omnipotence, you know, I can have anything I want, and I'll go out there and prove it and get it. So you're really looking at quite severe narcissism there.
So it's quite interesting to note that Ghislaine Maxwell has now been found guilty of aiding and abetting Jeffrey Epstein in his sexual felonies involving minors. Yet she came from an environment where she was brought up by a man that was very narcissistic, and she landed up with another man who was very narcissistic, both of which, strangely enough, when they were being found out, committed suicide. So these personalities can also draw other people in. So how do you identify somebody that has the potential to cheat on things in life? We're not talking about just cheating on a partner, but basically, like you said, having these narcissistic tendencies. Are there certain signs we should look out for?
Yes, there are, and the problem is they're not always obvious. And for the person who has a tendency to get drawn in, they start making excuses and they overlook the little signs. And I think that's where the problem comes in. But certainly, you know, when you find that person's always putting themselves first, always having to win, getting upset if they're not winning, that sort of thing. But it's not always easy to identify, but one has to look out for the little red flags. But often often people who do get drawn in themselves have a low self-esteem, and they might feed off the self-esteem of the other person. So, you know, you're often looking at, you know, something that kind of works together in a way, a twinning of personalities.
So is there truth to the adage that the superiority complex that we see in certain individuals is actually the complete opposite? It's derived from an inferiority complex.
It can often be that. It can start out like that. They're feeling inadequate, and then they find that they start winning, and as they start winning, people look up to them, put them on pedestals and so on. The, you know, the taller the pedestal, the longer the fall, so they'll do anything to stay there. They don't find anything within themselves to give themselves a sense of self-worth. It's got to come from the external environment all the time.
It's very sad, because once these narcissists or sociopaths get their hooks into somebody, it's very hard for that person to extract themselves. And despite the fact that there may have been warning signs, they now are already stuck in that situation. Some could almost say it's like a Stockholm syndrome. What do we do if we bystanders and we see somebody close to us getting involved with somebody who is a cheat in life, somebody who is going to try to cheat the system and cause collateral damage and maybe even harm that person that's close to us?
Yeah, and one would want to be able to warn them in some way. You know, and I think if you approach it too directly, often you'll be dismissed as, you know, you just don't understand and you don't see the person the way I do. You'll get that sort of response. But I think, you know, slowly and gently to sort of start pointing things out is about the only way you can really do it. Because they're not, you know, once they're pulled in, they're not easily going to want to have their eyes opened and to see it for the way you see it.
I'm going to be in touch with you next year. I want to actually dedicate a full 40 minutes to chatting to you about the traits that we should be able to pick up when it comes to narcissists and sociopaths, because it's so important. And you see them just escalating in number, taking advantage of people, especially during the economic slump, during the COVID pandemic. We've seen a rise in scams, a rise in frauds, and we need to stop these people from cheating the system. So Linda, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm looking forward to that conversation in the new year. And a very, very happy new year to you. And I really hope you enjoy your New Year's Eve tomorrow.
Thank you so much. And same to you. Thank you very much.
That was Dr. Linda Blockland. She's the chairperson at the Clinical Psychology Forum.